The views expressed on this show by guests and the hosts on issues outside of the 9/11 controlled demolition evidence are the opinions of those individuals alone and do not necessarily reflect those of architects and engineers for 9/11 truth.
Welcome to 9/11 Freefall. I'm the host, Andy Steele. Today we're joined by David Von Kleist. He's an activist, he's been a show host, and he is a musical performer. I personally remember him from my early years of waking up to 9/11, seeing his films on Google Video back when that still existed. He is joining us today. It's a great honor. David, welcome to 9/11 Freefall.
Well, thank you for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here.
So this show is always picking up new listeners, as is the 9/11 Truth Movement is always picking up new people as we go along. May not be familiar with you and your work, so tell us about yourself and your career.
Well, first of all, I am, always was, and always will be a musician and a vocalist. I do voice work. I've been doing voice work, since the early 80s. I was a staff announcer at WTMH Channel 8 in New Haven, Connecticut. And started my talk show career in 95 on WATR AM 1320 in Waterbury, Connecticut. And so I have a long history in broadcasting. And as far as how I got involved with the 9/11 movement, I was doing a show called The Power Hour. Some listeners may remember Joyce Riley and Dave Von Kleist and The Power Hour. And we were on the air the morning of September 11th. And we had this little studio. We were living in a little town called Versailles, Missouri. And we had a digital phone line hooked up to the network, the GCN network up in Minneapolis. And so we were scheduled to go on at 8 o'clock Central Time, which is 9 o'clock Eastern Time. So I made my way out to my little studio and turned on the mixing board. And I hooked on the digital phone line, got connected to the network. And check, check, 1, 2, how's my level? Hey, Scott, are you there? Yeah, Dave, I'm here. Okay, fine. How's the level? Sounds good. I said, okay, fine. How much time we got? Oh, about 30 seconds. Oh, okay, great. All right, let me get my news stories. Okay, here's my news. Oh, let me turn on my TV monitors here. Here's CNN, and here's Fox. And oh, what? What is going on? Oh, my God. What's going on in New York? And at that point, historically, if you recall, the first tower had been hit at 8:46 Eastern Time. And here I'm going on the air at 3, 2, 1, bang, I'm on the air. The first thing I said was, ladies and gentlemen, before we do any intro for the show or play any music or anything at all, I need you to listen very carefully. I want you to run, don't walk, to your VCR, if you have one, put in a blank tape and start taping any television station you can, any network you can. Something horrible is going on in New York City. So all over the country, I mean, the radio show, we had 65 AM FM stations. We were on shortwave, satellite, internet, and at one point we were on XM for a while. But anyway, the point is, all over the country, people started throwing videotapes in. And historically, as we all know, at 9:03 Eastern Time, the second tower, the South Tower, got hit. And it was just a horrible, horrible day of broadcasting. Needless to say, you know, we were all suffering from a 9/11 hangover for a couple of weeks. And I remember a couple of weeks afterwards, George Bush, GW, was on television, and he was saying, we got to stop showing these terrible attacks on America no more because America needs time to heal. So they stopped showing any replays of the planes striking the buildings or any of the aftermath, you know. But at the same time, I started getting videotapes in the mail. I got one after another after another. I ended up with a box with like 65, 70 videotapes. And it occurred to me that Fox has Fox footage. CNN has CNN footage. ABC, NBC, CBS, they've all got their own footage. And they certainly aren't going to share it. Here I am sitting with a box filled with live video from all of those networks. But I also had video footage from WPIX, WOR, WNEW, WJAR, the local stations around New York City, Connecticut, and New Jersey. So when the conspiracy theories all started to come out, I think the first thing that came out was a challenge on what happened at the Pentagon. So, and this was in March of 2002, I had done some investigation into that, and I wrote an article, from, and it's called From Deception to Revelation, and you can still find it on the website. But anyway, the point is, I published that article, and at the same time was reviewing a lot of the videos that I had in my possession, and I realized that I was probably the only person in the country who had access to all of this video footage, and I felt an obligation, a duty, to compile some of these video clips and get them out there. And that's how the 9/11 in plain sight video began. So I got together with William Lewis, and we started going through all these piles of videos. And basically, this is how that documentary film was created. And we released that in 2004. Now, what happened shortly after that, it was interesting because 3 weeks before its release, I mean, we put out some information, some teasers saying, hey, guess what? There's a new video coming out, blah, blah, blah. But it was interesting that there were 3 weeks before the release of the documentary film, we were already starting to see reviews of the film online. And people were trashing it and saying this is all craziness, this is conspiracy theory, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, so we released the film, and that's when the attacks came. I mean, with a name like Von Kleist, he must be a Nazi. Oh, yes, he's a Nazi. He's a CIA plant. He's a CIA mole. He's MK Ultra. He's Joyce Riley's handler. He's a skinhead. He's a Nazi. He's a Mossad agent. I mean, all this crazy stuff started coming out. So, no, I'm a musician, and I do a talk show. But anyway, so as that progressed, at the same time, and I need to turn the clock back a few years before the 9/11 attack. A lot of the listeners out there may recall that Joyce and I were co-spokespersons for the American Gulf War Veterans Association. We had been trying to get help for the Gulf War vets from the first Gulf War. And as a result, we had a lot of friends in the military and intel, et cetera, et cetera. And they know where we're coming from. So anyway, they started coming forward and saying, hey, Dave, you're asking some really tough questions. And I said, yeah, you're darn right I am. I'm asking questions a lot of people don't want asked, let alone answered. And so I'd say to them, do you want to talk about it? And they said, sure. So during 2006 and 2007, when I was traveling around the country doing different speaking engagements, I would connect with different people, like, for instance, Russ Wittenberg, who was a scheduled pilot for Flight 175, but he was not on duty the day of the attacks. But he was the regular pilot on that route, on Flight 175. So I spoke to Russ Wittenberg. I also spoke to General Albert Stubblebine, who for 25 years was in charge of photo analysis at the Pentagon. And I also talked to Colonel George Nelson, who was in charge of identification of aircraft and aircraft parts at the Pentagon, and a host of other pilots. Oh, gosh. Oh, I'm trying to remember another pilot's name. I'm having a senior moment right now. But anyway, so this is how the second film came about. The second film was called 9/11 Ripple Effect. And that was released in 2008, I believe it was. So anyway, at that point, things got really, really strange. And like I said, there was a difficulty in my relationship with Joyce. And it's no secret that we ended up splitting. And it wasn't a good thing. And at the same time, I had a parting of ways with William Lewis. And that didn't go so well. So the point was, is that after, after the 9/11 Ripple Effect video was released, a bunch of, shall we say, fecal matter hit the circulator, and I was ejected from the radio show, and let's just say I felt that I couldn't trust the people in my foxhole. And I'd also noticed during that period of time that the 9/11 Truth Movement, I really PO'd a bunch of people in the 9/11 Truth Movement, because I call a spade a spade. And unfortunately, there were a lot of people who had jumped in with both feet into the Truth Movement, but they were in it for the wrong reasons. You know, if you're in it for the accolades and the ego and all that, or if you're in it for the power, or if you're in it for the money, then you're in it for all the wrong reasons. And I saw too much of that. So I PO'd a bunch of people in the truth movement because I said it was turning into a bowel movement because there were several people who I felt were full of crap, you know. And so anyway, I wasn't in this to make friends or anything. I was in it to just get the truth out. So this is one of the reasons why I left the truth movement. I figured, like I said, if I can't trust the people in my foxhole, then what's the point of fighting the battle? So I took off. My mom had gone around the Golden Corner, and I had to get her into a nursing home. And I took what funds I had left, and I went to South America. I was invited down there and say, hey, you can come down here, stay for a week, a month, a year, whatever. I said, sure, why not? So I took off, and I was down there for about 6.5 years, and it took me a couple of years to become a human being again. So so here I am back in the States, and I'm retired, doing the best I can with Social Security and whatever I can do as far as, you know, making some money playing gigs. And I'm reluctantly toying with the idea of putting a show back together because, my God, this country and the entire world is being deceived. There's so much propaganda that's being touted as real information out there. And I feel like somehow just common sense has been made illegal. You know, cognitive thought is a lost art these days. So that's sort of where I'm at right now. I'm just sitting, as John Lennon says, I'm just sitting here watching the wheels go round.
There is so much in there that I could comment on, and so much I agree with you on, especially in that last point. Common sense is out the window now. I saw a meme on Facebook the other day where it showed a bunch of people wearing tinfoil masks, and the big bold letters under it said, "Who's the tinfoil conspiracy theorist now?" Talking about this whole mask issue, and you have all this public shaming going on. It's almost like you're on patrol in a conquered country when you go to the grocery market. You don't know if somebody's going to come at you for not wearing a mask these days. You see videos of people getting maced over it and all of this stuff. And then going down to South America, my goodness, I've never been down to South America. I imagine you've got some good stories there and had a lot of interesting experiences. And coming back in the United States after being out of the country must be a real culture shock. Even though you're used to it when you were here at a younger age, you're out for that long. I just know from being in the Peace Corps for 2 years, it is like a shock, like coming back into something that you left behind so long ago.
Well, yeah, as they say, sometimes you have to step away from the trees to see the forest. And that's exactly what happened to me. Like I said, when I left the States and went down to Argentina, it was a bit of a culture shock, but and it took me a little while to adjust. But the point is that once you step away from the country, and, you know, I was meeting people from all over the world. I was down in a little town called San Rafael, Argentina. And there I was staying with a woman and her family, and they had an extra house. And they were hosting what's called Workaway. And Workaway is for travelers who are traveling around the world and they need a place to stay in return for work. So, and this place that I was staying at had 50 acres, and there were eucalyptus trees, and there were weeds, and all kinds of yard work and wood to be cut, etc. So people would come, and they would stay for, like, say, 2 or 3 weeks, and in return, they'd have a nice place to stay, and we would make dinner for them. And we did that for about 3 years. And in that time, we met, I think we had, like, 65 different sets of people who had come to stay in that house. And they were from all over the world, from Thailand, from Japan, from Australia, Spain, Germany, England, France, just all over the world. And so, you know, getting to know all these different people and hearing their perspectives on what their feelings about the United States were was quite a wake-up call. In some ways, yes, they revere the United States as the best country in the world, and they thought that President Obama was great, et cetera, et cetera. But on the other hand, there were a lot of other people who were saying, you know, the United States, you have some great people, but my God, your government is so damn corrupt, you know, waging war all over the world for profit. You know, I mean, privatizing so many different aspects of military action in other countries. It's just obscene. And I knew that. I covered that in the 9/11 ripple effect. That gave an example of a no bid contract that was awarded to Halliburton, and the obscene inflation. I mean, a job for transporting 85,000 gallons of liquid propane, and this is just one example of hundreds and hundreds of no bid contracts that are awarded every year. And in this particular contract, it was for transporting 85,000 gallons of liquid propane from Kuwait to Baghdad. Now, what I did, I was living in Missouri at the time, so I called a propane company in St. Louis, and I asked them how much it would cost to transport 85,000 gallons of liquid propane from St. Louis to Kansas City, a distance of about 300 miles. And I was told that it would probably cost about $30,000. So then I double-checked, and I called a propane company in Kansas City and asked them the same question about how much to transport 85,000 gallons of liquid propane to St. Louis. And it was pretty much the same thing. But the issue here is that this was a no-bid contract to transport the 85,000 gallons of liquid propane from Kuwait to Baghdad. And it was an obscene amount of money. It was like $27 million. It was something just crazy like that. The point is that the inflation of these no bid contracts is a financial rape of the American people, and this is standard operating procedure. And like I said, you know, the rest of the world, they see what's going on. They don't have the filters that our mainstream media, you know, the networks here are just so controlled, and they don't have those filters. And as a matter of fact, you know, I think that as far as the networks here in this country, we have more control over information in this country than is going on in Russia or in many of the other countries that we say, oh, gosh, they don't have a free press. They don't have a free press. Guess what, folks? We don't have a free press. And I trust RT International News more than I trust CNN or Fox. So, as a matter of fact, all of the real journalists have been drummed out of the mainstream networks here in this country. That's why you've got Larry King on RT, Rick Sanchez on RT, you know, what's his name? Jesse Ventura, Governor of Weston, he's on RT. You know, I mean, all of the real patriots and real journalists have been given a platform by Russia Today. And Russia doesn't have to do anything to besmirch the reputation of the Republican or Democratic Party. They're doing a fine job of that all by themselves. All they got to do is report it. And that's basically what's going on. So, I mean, I got off the track here. I have no love of the mainstream media. It is propaganda 101. And that's the fact, Jack.
Well, I agree. And the thing is, I've been doing this so long, and every word conveying my disgust has been said, so at this point, I don't even know what to say, because it's just the fact of the world that our mainstream media is bought and paid for, that you read an article now about current events, and it's almost like you're reading some high schooler's essay where they were told to include certain points, like make sure you mention that they're a conspiracy theorist, make sure that you validate what is going on right now, make sure you do it in this specific way. And when you talk about Halliburton and the no-bid contracts and the raping of the American public and the taxpayer for these wars, I mean, this is another atrocity. And what gets me, I'll even go a step further, that's bad enough. But you have companies like KBR, which weren't even doing a good job, where they were getting all this money to build the showers and the facilities for the soldiers, and soldiers were getting electrocuted in the showers because they were hiring locals to do this work who were not necessarily that well trained. And our soldiers, after being out there being worried about a roadside bomb all day, step in the shower and die. It's just disgusting. I don't think that you should be able to profit off of wars like this, and I don't know what you do about it legislatively, but something like this needs to be prevented from ever happening again in the future. And you remind me of this because it was so long ago, but it wasn't really that long ago in the big scheme of the world, and it hasn't ended. And that's why Dwight Eisenhower warned everybody about the military-industrial complex. When you make something super profitable, you're going to get more of it. Now, it is interesting what you say about the mainstream media. I've seen a shift. Now, some people just mindlessly go along with the media just like they did 10 years ago or so. However, I've seen a lot of people turn it off. Just in my personal life, realize that they're lying. The mainstream media has become a joke in many circles. Do you think it's easier to talk to people about things like 9/11 than it was 10 years ago? And do you feel that media has shot itself in the foot, as I kind of alluded to earlier?
Well, I think that a lot of people, unfortunately, have been conditioned or trained or brainwashed to not want to discuss anything that is or can be perceived to be a quote-unquote buzzkill. They don't want to talk about anything that is upsetting. And so as a result, all those upsetting things go unexamined or not discussed. And, I mean, example is the Oklahoma City bombing or TWA Flight 800 or the 9/11 attacks or the 7/7 attacks. You know, I mean, there's so many false flags and so many of these horrible events that people just don't want to talk about because it's very disturbing. And we're dealing with that right now. As a matter of fact, I think that we're looking at the most profound level of distraction, propaganda, what have you, with this whole COVID-19 thing, with the BLM, with the Antifa. I mean, this is all being thrown at the American public. It's the old methodology of watch my right hand so you don't see what's going on with my left hand. And that's what the media does. They create the distractions so you won't look at what's really important. So if we're being distracted with the COVID-19 and masks and BLM and Antifa and all this stuff, I have to ask the question, what's in the other hand? And I'll tell you what's in the other hand. But we have to go back a couple of years. Now, again, I want to reiterate, I am no fan of the Democratic or Republican parties. Okay? But if you think about it, when Trump was elected, immediately, I mean, before he was even sworn in, they were already screaming, impeach, impeach, impeach. Then he was sworn in. It was impeach, impeach, Russia, Russia, Russia. We had to listen to that for a year and a half, 2 years. And then it was going to be the Mueller investigation. That'll get him. Yeah, that'll bring Trump down. But the Democrats have been spending all of their time trying to get rid of Trump because Trump was going to, quote unquote, drain the swamp. And he's been doing some of it. I mean, I'm disappointed in some of the things that he hasn't done. But anyway, the point here is that a year and a half ago, all of a sudden, the Harvey Weinstein thing comes to the surface. And then it's Jeffrey Epstein comes to the surface. And now we're dealing with Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, the thing is that this entire international sex trafficking, adrenochrome marketing, and I hate to add it in there, but you can't deny it, Satan worshiping ring, this is nothing new. And I'm going to turn the clock back to 1995 when I started my talk show career. And I was talking to people about the Oklahoma City bombing and the investigation of that. One of the people I became friends with was Ted Gunderson. Now, Ted, I know there are some people who say, well, he wasn't such a good guy and everything. And I don't care what they want to say about Ted. The conversations I had with Ted, he had been investigating the proliferation, not just the institutionalization, but the industrialization of sex child trafficking on an international scale. And now we're talking 25 years ago now. This is something that's been going on for a long, long time, and it's down to a very finely tuned machine at this point. And the point is that there are kings and queens and presidents and emirs and people all over the world who are in very, very powerful positions who are up to their eyeballs in this disgusting activity. I mean, look, they're talking about Prince Andrew. What was that guy, Jimmy Savile in England? And then there are kings and queens. I'm not going to rattle off the names. Just do your own searches out there, dear listeners. The point is, though, is that the international and multinational sex trafficking rings go all the way to the very top of many, many, many governments. So with the revelation of all of a sudden this is being opened up, this Pandora box is being opened up, and the investigations into Weinstein and Epstein and Maxwell and Bill Clinton and Prince Andrew, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, the powers that be all over the world are saying, oh, my God, they're investigating all of this stuff. Now, at the same time last year, if you recall, there were yellow vest protests going on all over Europe, in Germany, France, Spain, England. I mean, people were taking to the streets. Oh, and then, of course, there was Hong Kong. Remember, there were hundreds of thousands of protesters in Hong Kong. So all of these world leaders would benefit tremendously in figuring out how to clear the decks, get all these people off the streets. How do we do this? Bingo, a pandemic. That'll do it. So, again, I'm looking at this whole thing. You know, I mean, let's face it. We all know that the mortality rate of this COVID-19 infection is what, 0.026. That's lower than we had with MERS, SARS, swine flu, and all of those infections seem to come up on an election year or the year before. Just do your searches, folks. So the point is, now we have a COVID-19 pandemic, global pandemic. All of those protesters are off the streets. You know, people are locking down. And every day, relentlessly, every hour on the media, it's COVID-19 infections. Get the vaccine. Wear your mask. Wear your mask. Wear your mask. Social distance. Wear your mask. Hunker down. Over and over. I mean, this is it's classic. It is classic distraction. And yet there are still people who are asking questions. Okay, now we need another problem. Let's, okay, BLM. Yeah, that'll do it. Antifa. Yeah, throw that into the mix. And so the American people, and indeed a lot of the people all over the world, are being distracted away from something that is really important, and that is the international sex trafficking rings and the people behind it. Anyway, that's my opinion. Let the fact checkers and people who decide community standards tear their hair out. But for the people out there who still have cognitive abilities, go ahead, do your search. Use your common sense. I think it all makes sense when you put the puzzle pieces together.
I know that there's some very disturbed people at the top levels of our government on both parties. And unfortunately, we are out of time. But David, I would advise you, if you can get a show again, we need to have your voice out there talking about these things. We focus on 9/11 mainly here at 9/11 Free Fall. But all of this stuff is important. All this stuff is happening now. And don't trust anything the media tells you. And that should be the overall message that we've taken from this show and many others over the past 20 years.
Well, I just want to say thank you for inviting me on. And I'm sorry that I got off the track there and redirected the conversation towards more current events instead of what was happening on 9/11. But I assure you that all of these issues are like puzzle pieces. And you won't get the big picture unless you have the guts to examine every single puzzle piece and very carefully see if you can't fit them together. Because once you do, you start to see the big picture. And when you see the big picture, your jaw drops.
This program is on every Thursday night on No Lies Radio at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific, and every other Sunday night on BBS Radio at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. You can also keep track of the archives by going to 911freefall.com. This is Andy Steele. So have a great week. Good luck.